2 months ago, the New York Times published a long, damning piece about the workplace culture of Amazon. Workers and former workers talked about incredibly long hours, people crying at their desks, and being pushed out after getting sick or having a baby. Just this weekend, Amazon has published its response. Todd Bishop is a co-founder of GeekWire, and he's here to tell us more. Hi, Todd.
How's it going, Jeannie?
So, well, I'm curious about this piece that was written. It was by an Amazon exec, and it basically goes after many of the ex-employees who talk negatively about Amazon's work culture. Why is Amazon doing this 2 months after the original New York Times piece was published?
So Amazon says it's because they were not able to get an adequate response directly from the New York Times to many of these rebuttal points that Amazon brought up. It's fascinating because earlier this year, Amazon hired Jay Carney, the former White House press secretary, who many people know from the podium in the White House briefing room. And he is now an Amazon executive, and he's taking the lead on this, what's become a very political issue in a lot of ways. I think that Amazon has been stung by this. And the fact that they're still responding to it 2 months later shows that it has impacted the company, not only their public image, but also their recruiting. It clearly has caused people to think twice before accepting a job at Amazon.
Well, you've been reporting on the tech community in Seattle for a long time. I mean, do you have any insight as to whether this New York Times piece, whether there's anything true there or whether it's not true? I mean, what have you learned that sort of refutes or upholds that piece?
Yeah, we do have lots of insights into this. And there are many situations that we've heard that are similar to the anecdotes in the New York Times piece. That said, it is very hard to get a comprehensive view of any company from anecdotes. And that causes all sorts of problems when you're going after the truth. I think that even inside Amazon, the company has grown so quickly, adding tens and tens of thousands of employees over the past 2-3 years, that I don't know that Jeff Bezos has a full handle on what's going on inside the company. So it's a very difficult question to answer. I think the New York Times piece raised lots of important points about Amazon. And I think Amazon made lots of very good points in its rebuttal this morning, including some key questions about the central quote in the middle of the story and the person behind that.
Well, you talked about the fact that Jeff Bezos may not really have a handle on what's going on inside the company, but what else does this piece that got published this weekend that specifically names ex-employees and kind of calls some of them out for what they said, what does that tell us about the culture at Amazon?
At this point, I think Jeff Bezos is pretty ticked off about that story. The fact that they're still going after it shows that this has become somewhat personal for them. And Jay Carney is clearly channeling his new boss in the same way that he might have channeled his old boss in the West Wing. This is something that I think is key for Amazon. To me, a different or perhaps better response would be for Amazon to come out and talk about the findings that they've had, their own introspection, and perhaps even change some of their policies, introduce better parental leave than they have right now, do some proactive things to improve their image versus simply attacking the messenger in the form of the New York Times.
You talked about what you'd like to see from Amazon, but I mean, bottom line, is it smart for Amazon to continue to stay involved with this story, or should they just let it go?
So if you're talking about a traditional PR perspective, I've talked to a couple different very veteran PR people from other companies this morning. They were stunned that Amazon did this because they're keeping the story alive. The average person sees this or hears it on the radio, and all it does is reinforce exactly what the New York Times reported. They're not listening to the nuance of it. They're, you know, KUOW listeners and their sophisticated ears aside, the average person out there just hears this and thinks, Amazon, not good.
I'm talking with Todd Bishop. He's the co-founder of GeekWire. And now we'll move off from Amazon and we'll talk about, I guess, a surprise employer that's showed up here in Seattle. Yeah, right. A stealth employer. So for those of us who have not heard of this, and I only hear of this when my younger cousins talk about this, Snapchat is a video messaging app that deletes its messages after a set amount of time. So there's no trail there. And GeekWire confirmed just this morning that Snapchat is opening an engineering office here in Seattle. What's going on?
Yes, they've been here for a few weeks, and our reporter, Jacob Demet, put on the shoe leather reporting and went out, and he found the Snapchat office by following an engineer that we thought was working for Snapchat and seeing where he posted his picture from and replicating that photo by basically going to the same building. It was very meta, as Jacob put it, and it just goes to show that nothing is really private in this day and age. Snapchat was trying to keep the existence of this office quiet, at least for now. And inadvertently, this employee, this engineer, let the cat out of the bag, as it were, the ghost out of the bag.
Well, and just to underscore the meta here, the Snapchat engineer posted the photo of the downtown Seattle on Snapchat.
Right.
That's where Jacob saw this,
yes,
right? On Snapchat.
Absolutely.
Oh my gosh.
So nothing is private. Nothing, even the things that you think are private are not private. And that really goes to show that even when messages disappear, that they're out there.
Why do you think Snapchat was trying to keep this office a secret in the first place?
You know, we were talking about PR strategies in the first segment about Amazon, and I think this was very much just a procedural thing. They weren't ready to talk about it. They wanted to get their story straight. So perhaps it was, you know, somewhat anticlimactic in that way, but it's really fascinating. This is part of a much larger trend of companies from California, the Bay Area, and Southern California, in this case, coming up here and establishing engineering offices to try and poach employees from Microsoft to Amazon and all other startups in the region.
I'm talking with Todd Bishop. He's the co-founder of the Seattle-based tech reporting site GeekWire. And finally, we talked about an office stealthily opening, and last week another Seattle office closed. Urban Spoon was a restaurant review app that was based here in Seattle, but they closed their Seattle office last week. What happened?
So a company called Zomato acquired them, and they essentially shut down the app. And many people remember Urban Spoon. It had the famous slot machine style restaurant picking function in their app. They were very popular at the beginning of the iPhone. And it looks like Zomato just acquired them and decided it wasn't going to work, and realized that, you know, this was not a great U.S. expansion strategy for them. And it's really sad for many of these former Urban Spoon employees. They closed down the app and absorbed it into Zomato, and then they actually closed down the offices and about 150 jobs in the U.S. And it's a situation where these employees really loved this brand. Many consumers loved this brand. And I'm holding out hope that somebody might acquire rights to the trademark. It was a great bootstrapped Seattle startup story. They raised their own, they basically built the company on their own without raising external money. And it would be nice to see it come back in some form.
Well, what do you think the shuttering of this office and the other offices around the country, let me rephrase that. I just want to know what it means that this sort of beloved Seattle company, now that it's closed, what does that say about the Seattle tech landscape?
Well, it would be ideal if every company that started in Seattle could grow up and become an acquirer, not an acquiree. You've seen that obviously happen with Microsoft and Amazon, and even Expedia is very acquisitive in that way. In some cases, though, startups just can't get to the point where they have that critical mass to be growing themselves versus selling to other companies. And you really do want more of the companies getting to that critical mass and acquiring other companies, growing here versus being sold to out-of-towners.
Todd, thanks so much.
Thank you, Jeannie.
Todd Bishop is a co-founder of GeekWire, a Seattle-based tech blog. We talk to him a couple of times each month.